When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
More dirt and spray.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
A little heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. We got a magic hat to get to in the final hour of the radio program.
Yes, we do.
We had a glorious NBA Finals Game 1, which we talked a lot about in the first hour of the radio program.
Should be noted, by the way, Eric Corgi, 0-for-1. Sorry, Corgi. It's over.
Sprague Corgi.
Sprague Corgi.
We're 0-for-1. We're 0-for-1. But he has the Spurs in 7?
He does have the, Spurs in 7.
And I have the Canes in 6. So my prediction's still alive, as is his. We will see.
Never know.
You little bastard.
0-for-1.
We'll get to some football dealings here in the second hour of the radio show, as I quite enjoyed the NBA Finals. Just nice to have.
It was great, man.
A great game, a little back and forth. The good thing about the NBA is 13-point leads feel like 8 in my mind, so I'm like, yeah, they can come back 2 possessions later. Boom, there you go.
Can disappear rather quickly.
I mean, even the way game ended, they went on an 11-0 run in a minute 50.
Yeah, two other things that I thought were funny. Did you see the AI Tony Parker that they put on the broadcast?
Did not see that.
They were going to commercial break showing Tony Parker, but it was an AI version of him, and he was moving. It was very weird. Him, like, celebrating a championship, but they, like, had his finger moving.
How did I miss this?
I don't know. It's creepy. If you search it on Twitter, it'll show up. It gave me the
heebie-jeebies. Why was he on it?
I don't know.
Was he talking?
No, it was just a picture of him celebrating a championship, which there are actual photos of that you could use to
or
go to break
video
or
feed.
Video
yeah.
feed of. And yeah. instead, they used like an AI thing with him weirdly moving his finger, and it made me uncomfortable. And also a tweet that made me feel very old. You're just trying to sit back and enjoy watching the NBA Finals and then realize Dylan Harper was 13 when COVID hit.
Why did you say that?
I'm just peacefully trying to watch game one of the NBA Finals, and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh.
He was a seventh grader?
He was third.
Yeah, that my.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Sorry. If I have to read that, I figure everybody should have to hear that. If I have to go through that last night.
I know COVID was a while ago. It's kind of still breaking my brain when you make COVID references in my head.
Was he 19? Has he turned 20 yet?
I think he's 19 or 20.
Yeah, I don't know if he's turned 20 yet, but yeah, he was 13 when COVID hit.
Well, so. He was a one and done. He has to be 19.
Yes. Right? I didn't know when his
Unless
birthday was.
Unless he's an older.
Well, you turn 19 your freshman year of college, right? And then 20 the next year.
Oh, yeah, I think he's 20.
So it depends on when his birthday is, but he's turning 20 at some point or either already
20.
13. He was a seventh grader.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes you feel old.
I asked this question. You brought up the kid who ran on the court for clout.
Why did we punch that guy in the face?
Well, It would have been great if Mitchell Robinson specifically grabbed him and this like ragdolled him to the ground for security. Yes. But I get why nobody wants to get involved there.
One of the best all-time highlights is Fred Warner lighting that guy up in San Francisco who had like the smoke bomb he was running around with.
Here's a couple questions for you. One, how in the world? So I'm at the Fire game last Friday.
Okay.
And I don't know if maybe I hadn't been to a Blazer game in a while and I just lost count. But it looked like they had far more security jump on the court the minute any kind of break in action.
Anytime there's a timeout, you're lining up.
Than a normal Blazer game. I could be wrong on that.
Or there was maybe a lot of them at the playoff game that I was at, but I don't know if they beefed it up for the playoffs because I haven't been to a regular season game in a while.
I thought, is this an Angel Reese protection thing?
Oh,
she's pretty
good point.
Popular. You know, there's a lot of weirdos out there. How do you even get on the court that far in?
You just run on.
Even if it's close to during the game. Like, how is nobody...
You got some Joe Schmo sitting on the sideline who all of a sudden has to stand up and sprint after him.
Well, and so here's the other part of this. I actually don't care that they show him.
Yeah.
But why does the NFL take the stance of never showing, but the NBA, they showed the replay of him. They gave him more FaceTime on the replay. Yeah.
Very unique that they did that.
They gave him a lot of clout on that slow-mo replay.
Yeah, I didn't know. That's a really good point because I was thinking the same thing. When he runs on the floor initially, the floor's so much smaller than a football field that there's nothing you could really do. Like, the camera's already on the play.
So was his seat courtside or was he like a few rows back?
He had
back?
To have been sitting close. I'll go back. Because he films the whole thing.
Is the whole video on the internet?
Yeah, if you just search court video, and it looks like it's him climbing down five or six rows of seats. So I don't know if he came down from higher and then just started the video there, or if he was sitting five or six rows up from the floor. It basically goes until he gets grabbed by security and carried off, and then the video ends shortly after that. You can't see Wemby's face. But I, too, was shocked because the NFL has always had that stance.
Terrible quality
video. Oh, it's not even. He's shaking because he's awful. Running around. It's just a bobbly video. That, like, congratulations on your clout, buddy. Have fun in prison. They don't show it in NFL games, but that's a good point. I was shocked that ABC showed the replay of it last night.
In, like, super slow-mo. Like, you saw
also,
his face.
It also was, like, We should be able to punch this guy in the face. Like, every player on the floor, this should be a new rule in sports. Without, like, they should all get immunity. Everybody on the floor who wants to should be able to beat the hell out of this guy.
Mitchell Robinson horse-kicking this kid.
Like, just as many times as you want, and you can't file charges. We have immunity. You came into our workplace. We have the ability to beat you up.
Well, you have to worry about stuff like this, of just the off chance of, like, you sneak something in.
Yes, it's terrifying.
Maybe that's not a phone, right? Like, my instincts would go to the worst place. I'd be like, dude,
why are you running at me
like,
right
I'm
now?
Getting away from you. Like, Wemby, to his credit, just like calmly smiling and laughing about it.
Yeah, I don't
know. He probably saw the phone early, but.
You're a little bit shocked, I would imagine, when it happens, because it doesn't happen very often in NBA games. We see it often and more often in football games, I feel like, than we do in NBA games.
Right.
But it also was like there was a turnover on the play, and they didn't really know what to do. The Knicks had a turnover. It looked like they were going to have a steal going the other way. And then the guy, they blow the whistle, and then they're like, well, whose ball is it?
What do they do on the broadcast if that guy's a streaker? Because we would have saw everything.
Yeah. If it's little, you got to zoom in and make fun of him.
I think he maybe wants that.
Ooh, he's into his microphone.
The way the world is rewarding people now, it's like that guy would
That's what he's after right there.
A YouTube stream and a streaming platform based on, like, I'm Little Ween Mike.
Welcome back to the Micro Podcast.
And then we'd be like, hey, did you hear this audio from Little Ween Mike? Hey, did you guys see the new podcast Barstool sign? Little Ween Mike. And I'd be like,
dude, spit on that.
Now Little Ween Mike has gone from thing. I got a 4-inch ween to I got a big ass platform, and Jason Swigard's gonna cut up my Little Ween Mike audio.
I'm doing interviews with the Rizzler. Welcome to America in 2026. Yeah, what happened to us, man?
I mean, there's a lot we could go through, but yeah, I just kept thinking a lot of things about that fan that got on the court.
Yeah, I just that's one of my biggest beliefs. If you're gonna put yourself in that position, I love the back and forth too between Jefferson and Legler. Jefferson was like, he's not here for basketball. And Legler was like, you think? Like, of course he's not. He's here for the clout and the moment of fame on social media. I would love. You want to curtail it? Let an NBA player knock one of these people out and it'll stop right away.
I just don't think they're ever going to get involved with it.
I know. I get why they don't, but I want
to
see it.
They're also used to people with phones in their faces the entire
everywhere
time.
Everywhere you go.
Everywhere they go.
Yeah, you can't escape it.
Well, we talked about Karl-Anthony Towns, who I personally, I don't know about you guys, if you had to give a player of the game, are you going Brunson? Or are you going somewhere else? Are you going Hart? Are you going Towns?
I think you can make a shot. That's the beauty of the Knicks win last night, is there's no wrong answer there with either three of those guys because they did different things. I'm okay giving it to Towns because Brunson carried him late, but without Towns, you're down by 20 points, it feels like, in the third quarter.
It just felt like he set the tempo and tone of like,
yes.
Wimby is not going to dominate us defensively.
No.
He had some good moments. They certainly shied away in possessions away from going all the way right. to the cup. I loved what Alvarado did.
Had a nice little game.
I was waiting for the Thunder to do what Alvarado did on the baseline layup. So if you missed it, he went baseline, he did a reverse, and what he did was he knew Wimby can't stop himself from blocking it. So he basically rushed to just make sure the ball hit the backboard,
yeah,
knowing Wimby was going to tap it off. Colton.
It's a brilliant move.
Great play by a short
player. Little 5'2" Alvarado trying to get a shot up over a guy 2 feet taller than him.
But so this goes back, and this is how I connect it. I'm one that's always been open to the idea of Karl-Anthony Towns on the Blazers. I understand the goofiness of it. I understand the element. I just think the reputation is a little far-fetched and extreme of he's not a winning player. It's like, well, then why do teams win when he goes to them? Is that just a weird coincidence? Okay. He was really effing good last night. If they win the series, you might be able to look back on an NBA Finals and say Karl-Anthony Towns won them a game, if that's your opinion.
Yes.
But what he showed me was this is why I want them to get Giannis. It's nice to have an athletic stretch big, isn't it? It's kind of nice. I like having a threat
nice.
To Wimby in some way, like
nice.
Some capacity. Do I want the pick swaps or, I don't know, an athletic-ass long player to go against right. the alien in San Antonio? And yeah, maybe that's an extreme reach for people who don't want to trade stuff for an unknown max extension guy. I'll take it. I'll roll the dice because, one, I want this team to be better and not just run it back and say, well, we got Dame this year, so it's like a free agent pickup. And I also want a really good player that can maybe be somewhat of a threat against that guy who, if he loses this finals, I don't know what he's going to do. He might buy a Bezos spacecraft, float around Earth for about a month, come back, meditate for 2 weeks, and then come back even more locked in and better next year. It might send him to the extremes of what to do in identity crisis if he loses the finals. So I want anything and everything I can to make us better prepared to be a threat against that kind of player and team.
Yeah, it's I see the point. I agree with the point. It's a great reason of having a guy like that who can do it on both ends of the floor and who can be an elite player on both sides. And that certainly was Cat last night. I'll take the takeaway that you had and just add a little bit to it. And the only painful nature of watching this final, sans, please don't let San Antonio win another title. Like, we feel like they're going to get a couple with Wemby. Don't let it happen this year. Let the future play out. Maybe they get a few more. It is the agony and the pain of realizing we are so hyper-focused right now as a fan base about did we have T-shirts or not at a game and people got laid off and that's where our focus is at currently with the organization, where mine drifts a little bit further back watching a team like New York get to the NBA Finals and say, man, what a unique concept to try to win. Mm-hmm. What a unique concept to be aggressive. Oh, you have an undersized guard who's not great defensively? Maybe we should be aggressive and surround him with lengthy, good defenders and
see,
great role players.
You go backwards a lot. I go more forwards.
No,
like,
and I get it.
I think
just,
you're right.
To me, it's well. I'm also connecting it to now of like, let's not continue to make the same mistakes. Let's be aggressive. Let's try. Let's put the chips in the middle of the table. And it's even in the face of something I've argued of. If Giannis doesn't sign the extension,
yeah.
Do you still like? Yeah. What the hell, dude? Like, maybe I'm already changing my opinion. Let the dice roll and see where they lay. Just watching a team who has a player who is there, like Damian Lillard and Jalen Brunson are very similar.
Very similar.
Slightly
yeah.
different in terms of like one shoots a little more threes, the other one's a little more mid-range game. But like
same idea, right?
Same idea, undersized, not great defensively,
clutch,
great closers.
Yep.
Like all of those boxes are checked, and they went out and made a massive move for Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, they did.
Which at times has been mocked over the last 3 or 4 years of like he's not a winning player, he gets distracted, he's a little goofy,
right.
Look at his salary. Oh my God, I wouldn't want anything to do with that. Well, he's 3 wins away from an NBA Finals. We refused to trade Scoot Henderson and Shaden Sharp for OG Anunoby, who, yes, got off
to the Shaden pick.
Yep. They got off to a bad start at the game last night, and then who was big in the second half for him and knocked down a massive three in the fourth quarter. And myself and everybody else included has openly mocked them for the Bridges trade.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, they overpaid.
They
of course they did. It's 5 first-round picks for a guy who shot the ball 6 times in an NBA Finals game.
You win a ring.
But you win a ring. Who the hell cares? They're in the NBA Finals. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing your point going backwards and then using it to go forward of saying, this is why you try. This is why you're aggressive.
Well,
this is why you roll the dice.
You can make an easy argument. All right, I'm not comping skill. Okay, so don't. I'll get your panties in a twist here.
Oh, they'll get twisted. Don't you worry.
Who's kind of our version of Mitchell Robinson? Donovan Clingan, right? He's a starter. Mitchell's a backup. But, yeah, like, when you feisty, talk about red offensive ass, rebounds,
physical,
yeah. right? Spicy, yep. pick and roll guy. Like, there you go. Who's our OG Anunoby? Slightly skinnier, but Tamani Kamara, all defensive guy. He made the team last year. He was borderline this year, right? Who's our Josh Hart?
Could have been Josh Hart, but we traded him for Cam Reddish.
Could have been Josh Hart, but we needed Cam Reddish in the 23rd pick in the NBA draft for Chris Murray. That's what we needed. So, you know, they read the room. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can make an argument that we kind of have, in a weird way, a hybrid version of Bridges and Hart and Denny, right? Big effort guy, high motor guy, goes yeah. downhill,
yeah.
will do what it takes. And then, yeah, not everything is comp. Brunson and Dame. Dame's at a different stage of his career, but largely what Brunson's doing is what we were accustomed to watching Dame doing. And then you just kind of fill in the blanks, and then you get to the town spot, and you go 6'11", 7-foot big, who can be perimeter-oriented but also take it down low and finish near the rim.
Yeah, and shoot the lights out of the ball.
We're kind of lacking in that area.
Yeah, there's a void.
We don't have that guy yet.
They got an alien. I want a Greek freak. Make it an old play. Greek tragedy. Wemby dies.
37% from three.
So,
how about,
like,
that? That'd be pretty solid.
There are elements of our team now that I think you can actually, in weird ways, and I'm not trying to say we're at the same level,
and
we play in the conference that's really difficult.
Do it.
But there are elements of the team that, like, you can look at and you're like, well, there's elements of what they have. How can you make it and progress it forward? So, yeah. Am I reaching today on a Thursday? You're damn right I am. But the funniest thing is, I have a diehard, and when I say diehard dirt, I'm talking literally name a Blazer. Name an off-the-beaten-path Blazer.
Like, from all time?
Anybody that comes to your brain.
Walt Williams.
Walt Williams, the Wizard. I would ask my brother-in-law, hey, do you remember Walt Williams? And he will tell you, I loved Walt Williams. I didn't want to lose Walt Williams. And then he'll do that for every Blazer you name. Sergio Rodriguez.
Jared Bayless.
Yeah, Jared Bayless.
Who could move on from
Jared? We should have waited longer.
Jared Jack.
Oh,
yes.
A floor general if there ever was one. He will tell you that for every Blazer.
Can't move on from
him. And I golf with him the other day, and I go, I hope they trade for Giannis. And he goes, I don't know, man. And I go,
really?
How would you feel if you saw him wearing our jersey? And he starts kind of chuckling. He goes, yeah, you're right. You're right.
That'd be kind of cool. I mean, that would be nice.
I I'm watching last night, and, like, I don't know if I don't expect Towns to be the best player in every game. He's going to have a dud. It's going to happen.
Yes.
But he was
awesome
last night.
Spurs will win a game in the NBA
Finals.
Or he'll get into early foul trouble or something.
He was awesome last night. That's all I'm making a point of. And it's because his style, his size, his athleticism. It's a disruptor for a young alien like this that is still learning, which is terrifying, but still learning how he can play certain elements against certain guys of certain positions.
Well, I feel like he and whoever was putting together the defensive scout on, they really went to work on his tendencies. Like, Cat took the time. He had the time. I really feel like he studied the video and the scout of understanding his tendencies. When he gets the ball in this position, here's where he's going. Because he didn't get beat off the dribble all that often.
He only had a couple buckets
Wemby.
Near the rim last night. And one of them I thought was an over-the-back rebound.
And so much of playing good defense is just understanding where your opponent wants to go, where he likes to go, what his pet move is. If he catches it on this side of the floor, or if he's at the top of the key, or he's in the corner, this is what he's most likely going to do. And Cat went to work on it.
Well, I thought Brunson, in multiple interviews, the post game with Salters, he did one with SVP, like, I know the podium stuff. Most of his answers were somewhat related in the general sense of, yeah, good win, but we need to watch tape. We didn't play particularly well. And I think that's the part you can hang your hat on if you're New York, is, like, they didn't even play their best game.
No, offensively, God, they weren't rough. That
they
sharp.
Were not very good. But they
Brunson
held.
Had 30 points on 30 shots. It was not an efficient, good scoring night
Hart
for him.
Hart barely scored. They held the Spurs, though, to 95 points. That defense is active. If I'm Karl-Anthony Towns or I'm a coach and I'm watching tape with Kat, I say, Kat, you did an exceptional job. Take 1.5 steps back from Wemby when he's at the three. That was how he got in foul trouble. I thought he was up too much. Wemby would attack. He has to kind of reach and overreact. That's how he got to four. Whereas if I'm Karl-Anthony Towns or I'm the Knicks, please shoot 10 threes again.
Go for it.
I don't care. I'll take the chance that you champagne me in the or champagne in the first half the way he did. How do you look in the second half?
Right.
Dude, those were horrific misses by Julian Champagne.
It's going to even out eventually, right?
So I would play those odds, and if you can do that, maybe you take that away a little bit more. I just thought there was room for growth for New York, and they won the game.
Yeah, when you don't play very well and you still find a way to win, especially when you're on the road, it's a really good feeling. And I think San Antonio will probably bounce back and win game two, but you got a tied series likely going back to New York and Madison Square Garden where they got a chance to take a stranglehold of it. I think both sides can make that argument internally. San Antonio certainly didn't play great. Wemby had a really rough night offensively. I expect that's going to change. He'll have a better night. Fox is capable of playing much better. So that's the exciting part, right? Like San Antonio's on the short end of it. They had a 14-point lead despite shooting the ball terribly and some of their key guys not playing well. And New York found a way to win the game despite not playing great basketball and not getting a ton from some of their guys in the starting lineup. And so there's room for improvement on both sides. All in all, though, great start to the NBA Finals last night.
I totally agree with you. Loaded second hour. We'll pivot out of basketball. Been a lot of NBA Finals chatter. Got some football dealings to get into. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It is a Magic Hat Thursday. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the radio program. Good morning. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful Thursday edition. Dirt's over here feeling cocky.
Sniffing.
It's like you see the Ducks in those preseason rankings.
Showing up number two. I got Dan Lanning ranked as a top five coach according to CBS Sports. Why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it?
I did have a really cool Duck centric thing happened in my orbit yesterday.
Oh, a duck centric orbit.
Huh? Yeah. A family friend of ours, he got offered a scholarship to Oregon yesterday.
Look at that. That's a big deal.
That's a dream opportunity.
Tell him you got to take it, baby.
I didn't. Make your own decisions.
Yeah, take it, man. Don't go anywhere else.
No,
all right.
No. Do you think if Teddy Ballgame is like one of the top high recruited golfers in America when he's in high school?
That's all he wants to do, man. Every day we're hitting golf balls all day, every day.
I did tell some friends that you took him to the range, and I said 100 yards and in. That's all we're working on. We ain't doing the driver. Get that.
Dude, my
out of
chipping
here.
Is fantastic. Because all we're doing, all I can do in the backyard is chip. It is dialed in right now.
That's what I'm saying. What's his game going to be when he's like 12?
Get that short game going, buddy.
I'm not going to care what his tee shot does.
I'm a recovery player.
Don't worry about it.
Who cares how far you hit it?
But do you think you'd be an overbearing parent?
I hope not.
Like,
I'm fearful.
Like, if your kid has some scholarship stuff coming in and coaches are reaching out, like, do you think you're like, Teddy? Think about this, you know, this program, this, that program, that, or are you just like supporting and then staying out of it?
I think I'm going to be a combination of both. There will be a, I'm going to give you the older perspective of how I feel about this, my wisdom and my age and all the experience I've gone through in life. Here's how I would view the situation and handle it. Now you go make decisions that you want to make.
Yeah, because I think
it won't be just like you do whatever you want. Like I gotta get my 2 cents in there. I'm getting my two. I won't push
Why
him.
Why do you gotta get your 2 cents in there? What if he doesn't ask for your 2 cents?
I'm his dad. He's gonna get my 2 cents whether he wants it or not. That's how this works. Okay, I birthed you. Well, kind of, not really, but a little bit. And I'm getting my 2 cents in there.
You're like the uncle from He Got Game when Denzel Washington goes to prison. He's like, I got this new Cadillac. I gotta be able to pay for
What's the NIL money like in college golf right now? Where you want to go play? Can you go somewhere where I want to go visit? If it's not Oregon, make it happen.
The National Football League. Yesterday we found out Micah Parsons is going to be out until maybe mid-October for the Green Bay Packers. He did suffer that ACL injury a little more late in the season, but he thought he'd be ready to play for week one. That is not the case. He'll be out until at least mid-October, according to himself and the team.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's, you know, you're missing a handful of weeks early in the season. You can play the dumb schedule game of, is that a win? That's a loss. And then you remember Green Bay lost to Cleveland last year, who was one of the worst teams in the NFL, so nothing is a guarantee. But it's just the idea, like, man, hover around, be competitive. He comes back. Who knows how many weeks it takes to ramp up to get back to feeling like full strength. As long as he's healthy late in the season for them. Like, not having him in the playoffs last year was a devastating blow for Green Bay. Because we can debate where he ranks, but there's no doubt he's one of the best defensive linemen in the league and one of the most disruptive defenders in the league. So you got to have him healthy, being out till the middle of October, not the end of the world.
How do you feel about Green Bay?
The same I've kind of felt about them the last handful of years.
Nothing's changed this year from last year to you?
I think they belong in a quote-unquote contending conversation because they've been a playoff team. They've won a playoff game. They've won a playoff game. They've been in the playoffs 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row? How many years in a row are we looking at in Green Bay? I know it's at least three.
I think it's three.
Because the Niner playoff game was 3 years ago. That was the year they won a game and then lost to the Niners.
That was the year they beat Dallas.
Then they lost to the Eagles on the road the year that they won the Super Bowl. Yep. And then this last year they blew the lead to Chicago in the wild card round.
Uh-huh.
So I can't remember if there was one more before that. I can't remember how that year went for them. They're a contending team who I'm not super scared of. If that makes sense. Like, they're going to be a playoff. I would be pretty surprised if Green Bay's not a playoff team.
Will you put them
in
the contender category?
I think if you're a playoff
team. You buy the Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur Super Bowl, they can do it.
Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the Patriots were in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
If you've been in the playoffs for three straight years, I think you have to be classified as a contending team.
I mean, the NFL certainly does provide 3 years of, like, a list that's longer than two teams.
There's a lot of turnover every year in the playoffs.
Although right now, it's just the Rams are going to win it. It's
well,
done
nobody
deal.
Else. You might as well not even show up.
Don't even play the games.
We'll see you come Super Bowl time. Would I bet on the Packers to win the Super Bowl? No. But I think who were we talking about yesterday in this same conversation about teams who could be good or could be bad? Of like this, or I think it was your Niner rant about windows being closed. Like, it's
I just hate windows. Yeah,
it's
I hate
the NFL,
term
dude.
Windows like, closed. It's like no,
and
it's
also
not.
The idea
windows
that you can't do something because if you would have asked me a year ago, can the Seahawks win the Super Bowl this year? I would say no.
I think Seahawks fan would have said no.
They didn't want Sam Darnold over Geno Smith, well, and he won the damn Super Bowl.
Some of them did, but yeah, there were certainly...
Don't revisionist history this. They were all against that move. Every single one of them, man. Turn around. Darnold's great. Everybody's been there before. So, yeah, I view them as a contender.
Okay, but if you looked in the NFC, for example, if you're just looking at them right now.
Power ranking contenders.
How many teams ahead of them in the NFC would you put?
This is the really tough part that I have because I don't. The NFC to me a little bit, maybe not quite as extreme.
Because we haven't seen anything from
these teams. Oh, of course. I view it a little bit more like the Eastern Conference, if you will.
The NFC?
I do.
Why?
Yeah. I think the Rams
won the Super Bowl.
I know that they did. The Knicks might win the NBA championship. Does it mean the East is better than the West?
Well, they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Sure. I think the NFC's dominated a lot. Well, outside of Kansas City. The Rams deserve to be where they're at, and all the odds, it makes sense. They just added the best defensive player in football. They were close already. Seattle won the championship, so 1-2, however you want to write, whatever is more meaningful to you, offseason or last year, that's fine. 1-2 right there, NFC West. Who's the third best team in the NFC?
I mean, that's where it starts to become open for interpretation.
Is it Philly? Is Jalen Hurts going to be the quarterback next year? Does Chicago do it again?
You mean this next season? Jalen Hurts will be the quarterback.
A year from now, would Jalen Hurts still be the quarterback?
We have a season to play.
Right, we have no idea. Chicago had a great year last year. We've seen a lot of teams have great years.
Some people would say Chicago.
Sure, and that's totally fine.
Close to beating the Rams last year in the divisional round.
They were also close to losing Green Bay in the wild card round. If they don't erase a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter, they don't win that game.
Lions, I think, are still going to be in a conversation for people.
This is
the Vikings with Kyler, the
Niners. This is why the Packers have to be a contending team. I think outside of – and I would be shocked. I'll give you a hot take right now. I don't think Seattle's winning back-to-back Super Bowls. I don't think it's a thing we'll see often in the modern NFL unless you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid
with that many games. I mean, are you going to survive the injury?
It's just brutal, dude. And they lost key players on defense. I know not all of them are starters, but good role players. Like, it just, that's hard to do in this league. There will be a very good team, but I would be shocked if they won back-to-back Super Bowls. So you're looking at who's going to fill that void. That's why Green Bay has to be a contending team. It is wide open after that.
Or, to your point, the Dallas Cowboys.
Or the Dallas Cowboys.
We had Darnell Washington. The Steelers are just paying people now. Darnell Washington got a 4-year, $42 million deal, 21 of it guaranteed.
Still one of the most intimidating players I've ever seen in person.
You remember the guy at Baylor that was at the coin flip, and he looked like a video game avatar, and his jersey was crop topped, and he had like 10 abs and
terrifying.
The biggest arms I've ever seen. What was his? Was it Oakman?
Remember. Yeah, that sounds
and
right.
And his face mask was terrorizing.
Yeah,
I think he ended up being one of those awful Baylor players, but off the field.
Sounds about right.
But I remember like that image and then him just not being really all that amazing as a prospect.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I view guys like Njoku and Darnell Washington. Like, they're the all get off the bus guys. The all-time.
Yeah.
Now, I think Washington's a fine player, and Njoku's a fine player. I'm not trying to diminish them, per se, but...
The funny thing about Washington is he never even really did much in college, either.
This is what I'm saying. Is
like, he was big. I mean, I think he's a good blocking tight end.
If he gets off the bus, you go, damn, dude, how?
Yeah.
He should be Gronk, and he's not.
He had 450 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns his last year at Georgia. The years before that, he had 166 and 154.
Hmm.
But I will never forget walking the sideline in Atlanta and looking at him and saying, that guy's a tight end. We're screwed, dude.
That was a good read by you.
Yeah.
That ended up being close.
That aged correctly.
to Cleveland, where they made the trade for Myles Garrett. Jared Verse yesterday spoke to the media, and he was asked how he felt about being traded from the Los Angeles Rams to the Cleveland Browns. Take a listen to this.
Upset, and I was upset for a good little bit of time. But when you're an athlete, you understand the nature of business. I'm happy to be a part of the Browns. You know, I'm happy that they believed in me and they were able to make that trade and bring me here. But it was upsetting at first. But, you know, you got two choices that you can either work or you can give up. And I ain't never been a quitter. My job is to be the best of me. If I'm the best of me, I'm not going to be, Myles Garrett. I'm not going to be Max Crosby, this guy, that guy, the best players in the league. I'm going to be the best Jared, and that's going to be the best player in the league.
He also echoed a line that everybody kind of laughed at him about. And maybe he'll end up being proven right on this because I don't know. There are some people that think that Watson actually might get close back to what he was because of the shoulder injury recovery stuff.
I've seen that takeaway.
Shadour is probably their backup, I would guess, at this point. He had a quote that people are making fun of him for today, and I should have pulled the audio, but it was that same press conference, and he was like, there's a difference between losing teams and winning teams. And winning teams, they practice like winners. Those guys out there, that's how they're practicing. And people were like, how bad are you guys going to be this year?
Cleveland. Do you know where you're at right now?
Is Cleveland winning 10 or more games this year the most shocking thing that can happen in the NFL?
Ooh. No.
Miami or Arizona?
Arizona. Because of
in
the division,
yeah.
I have to do Arizona.
Yeah.
I have to.
You have 6 games against 3 really good teams.
The Jets. Geno Smith taking the Jets to the playoffs this year, I think I would be more surprised
Dolphins,
if that happened.
Dolphins, Cardinals, Jets, Browns, of the 4, which team shocks you the most that you say they won 10 games?
It's still the Cardinals.
Why is it the Cardinals? Have you seen the Dolphins? People think the Dolphins are actively tanking.
They are actively tanking.
I don't know if that's true.
They are actively tanking.
I don't know, man. They brought in Green Bay South.
It's not like they're an organization who ever tried to get a coach who purposely loses games and then fired him and then you filed a lawsuit against the NFL. It's not like they're the organization that ever did that. And then, may I point out,
that lawsuit, by the way, is still going on.
Still going on.
Flores of the NFL.
May I point out, rightfully so, because if they had tanked the way they were supposed to tank, you know who their quarterback would be right now? Smoking at Joe Burrow.
God, Joe Burrow.
Instead of getting Tua and his weak arm and his concussions, who is now an Atlanta Falcon. So the owner was technically
They'd
right.
They'd be debating now in Miami if Joe Burrow's already better yes. than Marino.
It would have changed everything about their organization.
Really would
have. That is their Victor Wembanyama to Scoot Henderson. Thank you for that. Thank you for winning four games before the All-Star break. I'm really glad we won 35 games this year when we're supposed to tank. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you want to tank.
Wow.
That's 33, to be fair.
33, my apologies.
It's a coin flip. Who's going to lose more, Miami or Arizona? Just looking at their
schedules. The Jets, too. Like, the Jets are good.
Why are you dismissing the Jets here?
The Jets have Geno Smith back as their quarterback.
Some would argue their coach is terrible. I don't know that for 100%
him
certainty.
Strutting
on the block field goal touchdown and then losing the game.
Somebody put together, because they had the Caleb Williams Madden cover was released.
Yeah.
And people made fun of it, but it was him trying to pay homage to the Jordan skyscraper picture where he had like a famous poster back in the day.
I've actually seen the cover.
It's just him doing like a jump throw, sure. But he's trying to do an homage to Jordan, which I thought was really cool. I'm not the biggest Caleb guy, but I thought that was pretty sweet. Somebody put together, though, the funniest, Madden should have done this as the cover.
People are making fun of this. It's kind of a cool cover.
I thought so, too. And there was one of, Daniel Jones when he had the bloody mouth. Remember him with, the crazy eyes and the bloody mouth? There was one with Cam Scataboo, ramming his head into something.
Making,
it was,
these, video game
fake
covers?
Madden covers of what they could be. One of them was him mid-strut on the sideline in Tampa. Aaron Glenn doing the peacock walk. How great of a Madden cover would that have been?
Looking at this photo of Caleb on the Madden cover, do you believe in the curse, by the way?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Although Saquon got banged up last year, but nobody could tell you over the years how accurate it is. It's one of those things we just kind of run with and never let die.
Wasn't there a stretch?
There was 5 years in a row where the guy got hurt
something.
Every year.
Yeah, they had a season-ending injury.
Mike Vick. There was a handful of them in that run. It was ooh, that's not good.
Is that cityscape behind Caleb Indiana or Chicago?
It's Gary Indiana right there.
Be big for Gary Indiana to get the Bears.
The Indiana Bears are going to be feisty this year.
The Indiana Bears, dude. I'm not calling them Chicago. I don't care.
No.
I'm calling them the Indiana Bears.
Should we do that with the Jets and the Giants going forward? Jersey Jets actually sounds better.
I would lean into the Jersey Jets. Yeah. Nobody likes you in New York.
Maybe you would be a better team if you were the Jersey Jets.
Oh, that's a good take. I like that take.
I start coming out to West Side Story soundtrack.
And we'll get to it I think stinking. Good God.
By the way, I forgot to tell you guys this.
Come on, your little knives. Where you going?
I hit Dusty with when we were golfing last Thursday. He had the playlist on, which, by the way, bold move. He jumped right into deep country, and I'm like, oh, we're going there, brand man?
Dusty
okay.
has an absolute aura about him where you're I know you're listening to nothing but country.
There's a Song of the South playing right now, and we're in Eugene, Oregon. I'm all about it, buddy, but I don't know if the group's vibing with this.
Banks, dude.
And
comes in with a dip every day.
A Michael McDonald song came on one time on his playlist, and I said, how's it feel to listen to Swag's Unit? And that derailed us for about a hole and a half.
Swag, I really enjoyed that when we got to skip work to go golf. Did you like that too?
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was so much fun for us.
What interview have we lined up for that? Is the volleyball coach you played with? Or?
Yeah, I thought we were going to talk chocolate vanilla.
Oh, chocolate vanilla he wasn't there. I didn't see him.
I was told this was the entire reason you went, is all the NFL or the Duck coaching staff guys were there.
That was a round of golf.
Unbelievable.
Round of golf.
I'm going to miss work later. I got an Oregon State golf tournament I haven't been invited to.
I can't wait to do a show at 4 in the morning on the Friday of the Portland State game and then drive to Eugene and be there until 7:30 at night. That's going to be a great Friday. Have fun on your afternoon off.
Show update. Show news.
You at least get paid for that.
Yeah. Colin Wilson tomorrow, 8 a.m.
Oh, that's
hey,
great.
There we go. Live on the air.
You were going to point out that Oregon State just lost their men's golf coach because he's going to become Joel Damon's personal coach.
That's actually kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That's
really cool. Who was it?
Rehorn.
So, well, no, there's another guy. Who's the duck? Why am I blanking? The doucher. not the doucher, but the other doucher who slams tee markers. Why am I blanking on his name? Won the U.S.
Wyndham
Open.
Clark?
Wyndham Clark. His coach was an assistant in Oregon while he was there. Or his caddy was one of the assistant coaches on the staff.
Oh, that's cool.
And he just took him with him. He's like, I'm going pro. You want to be my caddy?
And Russell Wilson has officially hung up the cleats. He announced yesterday. Now, I still don't believe him. I think in 2 years, if somebody calls him, he'll absolutely roll out and say,
without a doubt, he will be.
But as we noted yesterday, he'll be doing the CBS stuff. Hey, some news came out yesterday during the committee hearing for the Protect College Sports Act. We'll share that news next on The Fan.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
A lot to get to in the third hour of the radio program. As we roll on this Thursday edition, good morning, happy Thursday, everybody. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw some different clips from the Senate committee hearing yesterday.
Yes, the Save, what is it? The Save
Protect College Sports Act.
Thank you.
Ted Cruz is now going to talk with Sankey and Petiti.
Yes.
And basically say, hey, much like us in office, what's it going to take to get you on our side?
What kind of pork you need in this bill in order to make you happy?
So I'm sure we will hear, and maybe they end up getting to some agreement and revisions of the bill, to your point yesterday in our conversation of this. But a lot of little tidbits came out about it. I loved Bavacqua. I loved him coming out and saying, as somebody who used to work for NBC, the best thing you can do is create a Super League, but he doesn't want a Super League.
It was a really funny moment of him saying, this would be bad, and then he laid out what a hypothetical schedule would look like, and everybody's like, dude, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, sign us up.
Yeah.
So it was a weird, like...
Wait, so Notre Dame would play Georgia, then Alabama, then Ohio State, then Indiana, then Oregon, and then Michigan, and then LSU, and then Texas?
And then you that get to the playoff.
That would be pretty fun.
That'd be pretty exciting.
Big dogs and big dogs only?
We wouldn't be like, hey, Notre Dame has a bye this weekend. They're playing Coastal Carolina.
Although they did have a bye against, who did they lose to 2 years ago? Was it Northern Illinois? Who got them?
Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois got them at home.
Yeah. Ball State. Didn't Ball State?
Ball State. That's who it was. Yeah, Ball State got them. Yeah. So they've lost that game before. It is college football.
You're not wrong. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Saban pretending to tell us what their budget was in football. It was 2.7. It's like, maybe legally.
That's what he claimed. Year one of NIL, we spent $2 million on our roster. Year two, it was $7 million. Year three, it was $10 million.
Who is he trying to lie?
Now it's $40 million.
Yeah, oh, it went from $2 to $40 million in a span of a couple of years. Okay. Right. So I enjoyed some of that. But something that came out of this that ties back local-ishly is Maria Cantwell, in one of the moments of her talking, was talking about Washington State losing money and how much they went from $35 million in the Pac-12 and the former conference to, and she let kind of the secret out, because we haven't had anybody actually thoroughly break this down for us.
No, the Oregon State schedule, by the way, came out. You know what channels you're playing on.
Oh, I went over that on Friday's show. It's actually a really good visibility season.
It's great. A lot of late kicks, but that's kind of to be expected on the West Coast.
There was late kicks in the old conference. Yes, there was always going to be a late kick situation.
Actually, fewer late kicks. They had a lot of 3 o'clock starts.
I thought the majority of their home games were night games.
They have like a
There's
stretch
two
there.
At the end and one at the start.
They have a Montana 8 p.m. game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, and then they had San Diego State 7:30.
A USA like Network in there.
Yeah, but USA Network's
on almost
every 7:30
kicks in November.
They got CBS, ESPN. Yeah. But Maria Cantwell, who is the representative from the state of Washington, she kind of let the cat out of the bag and was just like, the Pac-12 deal now is going to be anywhere from $10 to $12 million a year.
Right.
So we kind of got the figures.
Not that it's a surprise, but now you got a firm grasp on it.
Well, it's been speculation. You've had media people speculate if it could be upwards of 16, 17. You've had other people on the other side of that say it's 8 to 9 at best. She let us know it's in that 10 to 12 range, which I think is about where all of us on this program, at least,
would have guessed
it fell in. And I saw an interesting reaction to people dunking on them because the internet creates hostile conversation, dunking on the folks that were bragging that it was going to get to 15 to 18. And then also I saw the other side of the people dunking on all the people saying it was only going to be like 7. And I just thought, this is a weird back and forth that exists here on the internet. 10 to 12. Okay, fine. There's the numbers. I'm going to tell you right. That's not good.
No.
Not good in any way.
The speculated amount and the whatever the Pac-12 deal would have been had the conference not crumbled. I mean, you were looking at somewhere in the mid-20s to upper 20s to low 30s, right, as a potential TV
23,
deal.
23, I think, was the last figure I remember hearing about the Apple TV deal.
And if USC and UCLA didn't leave, it could have been higher than that, right? Then you're looking at probably north of $30 million if the entire conference had stayed together. And so you go from making potentially $30 million a year to 13 or 12 or 11, that's a $20 million short gap that you got to overcome. And it's just not easy to do. And so it's one of those things that I'm following this. I don't know what the viability is. We talked about it yesterday and debated it. I certainly understand both sides. My hope is that as the process goes on, some of the things that we don't like in the bill get kind of weeded out. I'd be curious to see how the meeting goes with Cruz and Petiti and Sankey, because the Big Ten and the SEC came out unanimously against this. Every other conference is for it. And so are there things and are there middle grounds that they can find to get the Big Ten and the SEC on board to get them to say, yes, this is ultimately going to be good for college football? Their big fear, and Cantwell was bringing this up yesterday, is that, and you mentioned the Bavakwa comments, that like the Big Ten and the SEC are going to break away and just join a Super League and leave everybody else behind. They can gobble up, if you don't pass this, you go gobble up Clemson and Florida State and Notre Dame jumps in there, and then whatever big programs you want, Texas Tech maybe at this point, and you say, see you later. We're going to go do our own thing, and we're going to make billions of dollars on a TV deal out of it. And so I like having some protection against that, because I think it would ruin everything that we love if it hasn't already been ruined about college sports. I've seen some people speculate if they could just get one of the bigger conferences to offer Oregon State and Washington State a spot, would Cantwell drop her push on this bill of saying, hey, give them a home in a major conference, don't leave them behind like this. Maybe she would drop her support of the bill. I don't think that would actually happen. It's just a unique time, man.
So great.
It's a unique time. And Saban had a lot of nonsense yesterday. The one thing that he said that I do agree with is that conferences should be regional. And the fact that
Cal and Stanford
playing in the ACC is the dumbest thing imaginable. The fact that my team has to play games at Maryland and Rutgers is absolutely ludicrous and should not happen in any sport, let alone football. How do we get there? I don't know.
Our conference should have never died. Somebody should have stepped in and not allowed the people and the movers and shakers in that sport that pretend to be dumb, that dictate all this and are now begging government to help them. They should have stepped in the moment and said, this is ridiculous. This is not going to happen. But they didn't. And now they're sitting there begging Congress and the Senate to pass a bill.
Yep. It was all Fox and ESPN. They decided to make the expansion moves, and here we are.
Loaded third hour of the radio program. Magic Hat in the fourth, Dirt and Sprague, hour 3 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.
At
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.